We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Hey, it's a beautiful day. The sun's shining. I think it's a little breezy out there. I hadn't been out in a couple of hours, but Hollis, capital of Harmon County, you're the warmest in the state right now, 53 degrees. Eric, 52. Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 50 degrees, 48 at Arnett, 45 at Slapout, 46 at the May Ranch, 51 at Fairview. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, what do we got going on out there? 52 at Odell, 55 at Childress, 52 at Wellington, 51 at McLean, 45 at Canadian, Texas. So anyway, beautiful day. Not much happened over the weekend on the Clark Ponderosa. Let's see, we had... What did I do? I know I did something. Had a few babies Saturday, and then went to the Roger Mills County Cattlemen Association All Breed Bull Sale, Western Oklahoma All Breed Bull Sale at Cheyenne. They was at the Red Barn this year because the tornado damage to the county barn. Anyway, what a great sale. A lot of good people there. I seen the Schneeburgers, Chris and Brian. Chris's wife was there from Burns Flat area. And I just seen a lot of people there. The Metter family was there. Who else was there? Frank was there, obviously. That's Linda's right-hand man. And it was there. Bull sale went really good. Monty Tucker, Tucker Family Beef. He did the auctioneering, did a great job. They had every kind of bull you're looking for there. Even with a little bit of rain, they got there Saturday morning or Saturday night. It turned out good. The pens weren't that terrible. They had sand out there in those areas, so it wasn't too bad. It was a little muddy, but not bad. If you showed up wearing tennis shoes, you were in trouble. But the bulls sold really good. I don't know what the average was last year, but the average this year was way up. There was some really good bulls there. And I don't know, a lot of good people there. Concession stand was awesome. Great hamburgers. And anyway, it went smoothly in and out of there and done by, I don't even remember. It was fairly early, but anyway, good job. My hat's off to Linda and her board up there for that. That went very well and had a really good turnout for that. Friday, oh, wait a minute, I got to back up. Friday, I stopped by the sale barn. See my favorite short gray-haired young ladies at the cafe. Got me a cheeseburger, some fries. Anyway, they were very nice to me. Instead of one piece of cake for my birthday, they gave me 3 pieces of cake. And I didn't want it, but they made me take it. Anyway, it was all good. So Mrs. Boyette, she's out as the favorite at the Elk City Sale Barn for this week anyway. But so anyway, it was all fun. It was good. The sale's crazy. I don't know what's happening over at Western Oklahoma today, but that sale was crazy Friday in there. So anyway, the cow-calf guys got it going on right now is all I can tell you. So there we have that. Well, let's see what else happened yesterday. Not much. Burned a big old tree pile that I piled up during the fall. It was misty raining yesterday, so I got that done. Other than that, not much going on. Waiting on Super Bowl Sunday, that's all I can tell you. Let's see what happened overnight. Okay, grain futures were lower in overnight trading as exports from Ukraine remained robust. Ukraine has shipped 14.3 million metric tons of agriculture products through the Black Sea since August, when the so-called humanitarian corridor was established. The shipping route, called the Ukrainian corridor, was established last year after Russia pulled out of the Black Sea Grain Initiative that allowed ships to pass through the Black Sea without fear of attack. Ukraine established its own corridor, in a bid to move products out of its Black Sea ports, including non-ag items. More than 20 million metric tons of goods have been shipped through the pathway since its establishment. The war-torn country is expected to produce 23.4 million metric tons of wheat in the 23-24 marketing year. According to the USDA, that estimate is up from prior forecast of 22.5 million tons, and if realized, would be up from last year's 21.5 million tons. Wheat for March delivery fell 7 cents to 592 and three quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures lost 8 and a quarter to $6.16 and three quarter cents a bushel. Corn futures were down 2 and three quarter cents to $4.40 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery lost 2 and three quarter pennies to $11.85 and three quarter a bushel. Soy meal was down $1.40 to $3.55.40 a short ton, and soy oil was down 7 to 44.8 cents a pound. Speculators raised their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn and beans in the 7 days that ended January 30th, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net short 279,000 contracts in corn futures, up from 275 the week before, and that's the largest bearish position since June of 2020. Money managers were net short 101,000 contracts in soybean futures last week, up from 96,000 a week earlier. Last week marked the largest bearish position since December of 2019. Hedge funds and other large investment firms held a short position on 67,000 contracts in soft red winter wheat, down from 70,000 the week prior. Investors were net short by 31,000 contracts in hard red winter wheat, down from 36,000 the week earlier. There you have it. Weather in our farm belt. Let's see. Dense fog has been, alerts have again been issued, this time for a large part of the land stretching from Canadian to North Dakota to Minnesota into western Kansas and eastern Colorado. We had a little bit yesterday morning, but nothing too bad. In central South Dakota, advisories will remain in effect till way in the afternoon today, according to the National Weather Service. Also, areas of fog will linger into Tuesday morning with scattered slick spots due to freezing on pavements in around Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana. And that's for in the morning. So nothing major going on right there right now. All right, let's see what commodities are doing right now. Corn, 443 for March, unchanged. 453 for May, unchanged. Soybeans, March, 1195, up 7. May is 1203, up 5. Soybeans for March, 361.40, up 460. May is 355.60, up $2.60. Soybean oil for March, 45.24, up 51. May is 45.70, up 48. March hard red winter wheat, 614 down 10, and May is 613 down 9. Cotton still creeping up. March 87.31 up 20. May is 88.23 up 8. Let's see what's happening here in oil. Looks like it's up for change. West Texas Intermediate, March 73.15 up 87. April 73.16 up 86. Natural gas is down again, getting ready to slide down below $2 if we're not careful. March 207 down 6, and April is 207 also down 1. So that looks like the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ is all in the red today. And I kind of predicted that because they started bombing a bunch of Iranian deals in Yemen and wherever else Syria they were doing. My feeling is things are leaning towards another small war in the Middle East. I don't know. Just my feeling. Well, when we get back from this Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour break, we're going to talk, see what the futures on the meats are doing and see what happened in Texas and Oklahoma at the sale barns last week. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden. At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com. or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 26. 1,029 head were sold. 5 head of steers at $398 brought $367.50. 9 at $508 brought $315. 6 at $631 brought $245. 12 at $699 brought $239.50. 3 at $760 brought $231. 8 at $789 brought $229. 4 head of heifers at $380 brought $315. 8 at $427 brought $260. 7 at $456 brought $270. 5 at $573 brought $258. 14 at $634 brought $238. 7 at $661 brought $232. Butcher cows were 46 to 119. Butcher bulls brought 77 to 135.50. Bred cows were 1,035 to 2,200. Pairs brought 750 to 2,300. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. Consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 28th at the ranch southwest of Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, KG Justified, and Easy AR Step Up. Several other breed-leading sires will be represented. Also selling commercial two-year-old pairs and open yearling heifers carrying QC Genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 28th at 12:30 at the ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale info, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. According to the Gabe Gadget Mezzanine Center here in our studio, 50 degrees, 70% humidity, and looks like the winds are out of the north around 6 miles an hour. Out here in the panhandle, big one. Texas, Lipscomb, 47 degrees, wind chill 45, humidity is 74%, dew point's 40, wind is out of the north at 5 miles an hour, peak wind gust today was 19, month-to-date precipitation, 0.06 inches of rain, red flag minutes, 0, sub-freezing minutes, 0, 8-inch soil temperature, 44 degrees. Is it my imagination or I'm seeing some Bermuda grass get some green tint on the bottom and maybe even some blue stem? I mean, this ground is warming up in a hurry. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. Somebody, I think it was my landlord, is telling me that there's calling, one of the stations calling for snow this Saturday, maybe. Depends on how far the front falls down. I don't know. I'm not seeing that in my weather. But anyway, one of my listeners wanted to know how my ear tagging went. It didn't. When you pull up to a cow beside your pickup and she gives you that, go ahead and get out with those tagging pliers and see what happens, look and snort. I just drove on by. She was, she just had it. I mean, just, she just stood up to start licking it. So anyway, I just moved along, left her alone. You know how cranky women are when they're having babies. But anyway, no, I didn't mess with her. I drove on. All right, let's see what's happening with the cattle futures. February live cattle, 180.07, down 47. April's 182.85, down 90. June's 180.65, down 112. Feeder cattle for March, 243.07, down $1.72. April's 248.50, down $1.70. May is 253.55, down $1.72. And August, 268.52, down $1.55. Lean hogs are in the red also. February 74.82, down 62. April 82.75, down 107. May 87.32, down $1.20. So anyway, not terrible, not at all. I mean, it's down, it's in the red a little bit, but it's still up there pretty good. I'm just want to see what Brandon sends me tonight from Western Oklahoma. I want to know what's going on over there right now. I got a buddy over there. He won't answer his text message. All right, let's see here. Weighted average reports from Oklahoma last week. There was a lot of rain in a lot of areas. Wasn't a major sell-off last week. 12,000 head reported in Oklahoma sale barns compared to 10,000 the week before. And I guess compared to last year, it was up 7,663 head last year. Compared to last week, all classes of feeder cattle and calves were lightly tested in early rounds for a trend. Demand was good to very good. Muddy conditions continue with rains falling over the weekend. Quality average to attractive. Supplies were 100% feeder cattle. Let's see here. Let's just go through a few of these. Steers, medium and large number ones. Here's a big set of 375-pounders brought up to 396. Big bunch weighing 430, brought up to 345 in the 400 weights. 500 weights, here's nice set, 526 average weight. Average 302.61, top end was 330.50. And then the six weights, looks like they were bringing up to 300, $3 pound. 630 weights, and then there was some seven weights bringing up to 251. Eight weights were bringing up to 239, and nine weights, 217. Slide down here to the heifers, medium and large number ones. We're bringing three weights. We're bringing up to 311. Four weights up to 326. There it is, 326. Five weights up to 266. Six weights up to 290. They brought more than five weights. Must have been a nice set. Anyway, seven weights, 225. Eight weights, we're bringing 211. Cows. Let's see if we can find the cows. Whoop. Nothing in there. They didn't put nothing in there. Nothing reported, I guess. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, or in the state of Texas, not the Panhandle, 8,128 head were sold compared to 8,300 the week before, 3,500 last year compared to last week. Yearling steers and heifers sold $4 to $10 higher. Stocker calves sold $15 to $20 higher. Trading was active on very good demand. Warmer spring-like temperatures after last week's showers. And CME cattle futures closing in the green throughout the week. So in Texas, let's see what some three weights we're bringing. 386 is the highest I see. Some 377s on some four weights. 332 is the highest I see on five weights, and these medium large number ones, and then six weights, 280, seven weights, 250 was the highest, and that was on steers and heifers. Here we go, heifers, three weights bringing up to 355, four weights up to 320, 5 weights up to 290. 6 weight heifers were bringing up to 249. 7 weight heifers were bringing up to 235. And 8 weight heifers bringing up to 213.50. And I don't see any in the 9 weights. So there you have it. Let's see if they had any action on the bulls and cows. Yep, here they go. In Texas, the breaker cows were bringing anywhere from at the low 144 up to 105.54. Boner cows were bringing anywhere from 83.96 up to 107.47. Lean cows were bringing anywhere from $54 per hundred weight to highest I see is 93.09. Bulls, not a lot sold, probably 10, but they were all doing pretty good. They were bringing anyway. The low end was 90.50. The high end was 119.06. Replacement cows, stock cows were bringing up to 177. And then bred cows were bringing up to 1875. Bred cows, medium and large number ones through twos were bringing up to 1600. And then let's see here. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones with baby calves on them were bringing up to 2000. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150 to 300 pound calves on them looked like they were bringing anywhere from 2000 all the way up to 2650. And then cow-calf pairs, medium and large, 1 to 2 with 150 pounds, 300-pound calves on, bringing 1850, and that's about it for that. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, 10 head or 10,000 head. Cow-calf, stockers, or feeders, selling at the sale barn, retaining ownership, or marketing retail, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association has something for everyone. As cattle producers, we all have many of the same goals in mind: profitability, stewardship, feeding on the world with integrity, and protecting our resources and livelihood for generations to come. To become a member or to learn about ways to get involved, go to okcattlemen.org. okcattlemen.org. Also, a little update on the bull and sale calendar, the Jimmy's bull and female calendar, if I can get it over here. We got some bull sales coming on in the area. The Bradley 3 ranch bull and female sales coming up February 10th at 12 o'clock. That's this Saturday. The OK&T 83rd annual bull and female sales coming up February 21st. And then Quartermaster's Creek right up here at Lady with Mr. Schweitzer is February 28th at 12:30. That's a Wednesday, 12:30. So anyway, got bull sales. This is the season to be a bull buyer. How's that? Anyway, good bulls so far. Great bull sales. Hudson's went good. Roger Mills went good. Anybody want to win a pair of tickets to go see Joe Nichols with Walter Montgomery this coming Saturday, February 10th at 7 o'clock at Sugar Creek Casino? Well, here's the deal. I'm taking a poll. Or maybe a toll. But anyway, a poll. Text in your name to 580-225-9697. And here's your three choices. Would you rather tag a baby calf by its mean mama? Or number two, would you rather work cattle with your wife? Or number three, or go sit at a kindergarten basketball game? Which one of those three would you rather do? I'm going to take the fourth person to text in their answer. And there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just getting a poll here. But the fourth one to text in their answer gets to go see Joe Nichols with Walter Montgomery this Saturday, February 10th at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30. Get your casino money out and head that direction. Anyway, Joe Nichols is really good. So anyway, I got a pair of tickets for that to give away right now, sometime during the show today. All right, let's take an OCA break, and we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, the old answers to the question were pretty funny. All right, let's check out some ag weather for... I haven't picked anybody yet. Let's go to Lahoma. How about that? Lahoma, Oklahoma, of course. 47 degrees, feels like 42. The winds are out of the north, northwest at 11 miles an hour. Humidity 76%. So far in the last 10 days, you've got 76/100ths of an inch of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 50 degrees. Woo. Fractional water, 10-inch, 1-day average. 1.0, sunset at 6:02, partly sunny, 54 degrees today, clear and 33 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 60 with no wind. Nice day to go crappie fishing somewhere if my ex-brother-in-law still likes me, but I guess he doesn't. Anyway, he's been catching crappie somewhere, so anyway, I won't tell you he's cheating with a live scope. Other than that, it's all good. All right, the winner of set of tickets to go see Joe Nichols was J.J. Simmons. And what was his answer? Work cattle with my wife. He is the only one that said that I've got so far. Let me make sure. Work cattle with my wife. Will your wife work cattle with you, though? Anyway, let's see. Yep, that's the only one we got. Couple of two or three want to go to the kindergarten basketball games. And then, yep, four or five of them went. And then there was a few of them. Nobody wanted to tag cattle. So, anyway, interesting concept there. Okay. I got a deal here that I want to go over with you guys. I think you guys have noticed that I haven't been saying nothing about what the farmers in Europe are doing, especially in Germany and France. I hadn't found anything that wasn't on social media to pass on to you guys until this morning. I finally got some legit information explaining. I mean, I know it's all about government stuff, but explaining what's going on. But here's the deal. In the wake of a historical farmer protest all the way across Europe, it's not just Germany and France. They got Belgium, Poland, Greece, France. It's going on. Even in Scotland and Ireland, it's going on. The UK farming industry, in case you didn't know on the industry, that the UK, or not the UK, but the EU, the European Union, they kind of dictate everything what goes on in Europe, not just the individual countries. They got it. But the demonstrations have been sweeping the continent for months, and with farmers protesting against regulation, income pressure, and bureaucracy. Yeah, I can't even talk today. I didn't take my allergy pill. In countries as German, Poland, Greece, France, Ireland, where the government was taken surprise last week by a blockade in Paris. I don't know if you guys seen that. It was pretty crazy what they blocked every major highway going into Paris. French farmers blocked major highways to Paris on Monday as they pursued protest over a range of grievances despite several measures announced by the government. Here are some of the issues that have prompted the protest movement and what the government could do next. Coolest thing I seen on TV last night was they showed some farmers blocking some areas into France, but these couture boys took a bale of hay and rolled it inside of McDonald's and then started taking it apart inside the McDonald's. So nobody was getting them a Big Mac last night at that place. It was a mess. So why are the farmers protesting? Farmers in France, the EU's biggest ag producer, say they're not being paid enough and are choked by excessive regulations on environmental protection. I want you guys to keep this in mind because this going green stuff is making its way into the United States through the programs, through the USDA by our current administration. So keep in mind, keep an eye on this stuff because they're spending a lot of money in the United States. And I know in Ireland, they've already did some stuff with the cattle part over there, so they don't have no gases leaving the cattle. So it's crazy world we're living in. Right or wrong, it's pretty crazy, and I know there's a lot of people say, oh, that won't ever happen in the United States. Check our border out down south. Who would ever thought our government would have let that happen? And so anyway, just keep these things in mind. Some of these, their concerns like competition from cheaper imports and environmental rules are shared by producers in the rest of the EU, European Union, while other issues such as food price negotiations are more specific to France. Costs. Farmers argue that a push by the government and retailers to bring down food inflation has left many producers unable to cover high costs for energy, fertilizer, and transport. A government plan to phase out a tax break for farmers on diesel fuel as part of a wider energy transition policy was also a flashpoint. Large imports from Ukraine, from which the EU has waived quotas and duties since Russia's invasion and renewed negotiations to conclude a trade deal between the EU and South America, have fanned discontent amongst unfair competition in the sugar, grain, and meat part of it. The imports are resented for pressuring European prices while not meeting environmental standards imposed on EU farmers. Red tape. Imagine there's some red tape in this deal. Farmers take issue both with EU subsidy rules, such as incoming requirement to leave 4% of farmland fallow, and when they see France's overcomplicated implementation of the EU policy, such as in restoring the hedges. Which one they mean? Green policies are seen as a contracting goals to become more self-sufficient in production of food and other essential goods in light of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Rolls over irrigation projects and criticism about animal welfare and pesticides have heightened feelings amongst an aging French farmers' population as being disregarded by society. The government is under pressure to defuse the crisis ahead of the European elections in June and the annual Paris Farm Show in late February. Looks like they're already having a farm show if you look on the highways. The prime minister announced on January 26 the scrapping of the diesel tax increases for farmers. He also set out steps to reduce red tape and offered extra aid, including for farmers affected by a cattle disease that they had in the south. So what could happen next over there? The initial announcements drew mixed reactions, and farmer unions have called for protests to continue. The government is maintaining a tolerant stance towards the protests, despite some violent incidents. It has ordered police, however, to protect Paris airports and the wholesale food market after calls for them to be targeted. The government has promised further measures within days this week. Further support for wine producers hit by falling consumption is being studied through additional measures for livestock, also expected. With most ag policies and subsidies determined at the EU level, Paris is seeking concessions from its partners, such as trying to build support for a waiver on the fallow land requirement, an issue the President Macron could push at a leader summit this coming Thursday. On trade, another area run at EU level, ag minister called for measures to prevent imports from Ukraine, destabilizing the EU markets, and this has been going on for about 6 months now, notably in sugar, poultry, and eggs. The marks shift by Paris, previously opposed to moves by Eastern EU countries to limit the flow of Ukrainian produce. Where else in Europe are farmers protesting? Traffic around the Belgian capital was disrupted by angry farmers on Monday. About a dozen tractors made its way through Brussels' EU area where they honked loudly. Farmers stopped about five trucks with Spanish vegetables and dumped the produce near the distribution center of the Belgian retailer. I'm not going to say that, but it's in Brussels, Belgium. Germany also has faced tensions where protests erupting from after a government decision to phase out a tax break on ag diesel as it tried to balance the 24 budget earlier this month. Berlin was brought to nearly a standstill as one of its central avenues filled with trucks and tractors, and they were dumping liquid manure on government buildings. Pretty funny, actually. But anyway, not cool, but funny. How's that? Farmers and truck drivers in Romania have also taken action this month with protests against high business costs, blocking access to the border crossing with the Ukraine. So anyway, they got it going on over there. So anyway, a lot of it's got to do with all these, this cost. A lot of it has got to do with cost. Not all of it, but a lot of it's got to do with this cost of going green. And if I remember the numbers right, where I seen that when President Biden went over there and they had this big meeting on global warming, climate change, and all this, the United States is bearing the most cost of any country in the world to help other countries. And then our USDA is spending money here to implement programs for people to voluntarily take part in. And they're not forcing nothing down anybody's throat yet. But I got a feeling it's coming if you want to continue to get subsidies from the FSA or the USDA. So anyway, it'd be interesting to watch the next year or two what happens with our ag industry here in the United States. I don't think it's going to be good, but it might not be bad at all. But anyway, just seeing what's going on everywhere else. It's see what's happening. Anyway, well, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for somebody down here in southwestern Oklahoma. And we'll continue on with Ag News. How about that? We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com. Or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see who... Let's go with Mangum. Mangum, Oklahoma. 55 degrees. Dew point's 41. Humidity's 59. The winds are out of the south. Or... north at 10 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 16. 56 one-hundredths of an inch has fallen in the last 10 days. Three-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 51 degrees. One-day average 10-inch fractional waters, not working. Sunsets at 6:10, 59 today, mostly clear and 35 tonight. Areas of fog tomorrow and 62 degrees. I got 6 tenths. What was that? Friday night, Saturday morning, I got a nice ring. Man, I look like an Einstein putting that liquid fertilizer down last week. I just gotta follow the Oklahoma Mesonet. That's all there is to it. Hey, got some more bull sales I want to tell you guys about off the Jimmy's Bull and Female Sale Calendar. Davis Angus Bull and Female Sales, March 2nd. Hobson Angus Inaugural Bull Sale is March 4th. And Harrison Cattle Production Company over there in Rapid Hole, March 26th. Oh, anyway, bull calendar and a female calendar sale is growing. Anyway, all right, you guys have heard me talk about some things dealing with mainly the Ulaga water reservoir in Kansas and parts of the Texas Panhandle. I got listeners up there, and this is the reason why I spread the love on information around our listening area. Well, Brownie Wilson pulls off a remote dirt road through a steep ditch and onto a farmer's field. He hops out of his white Silverado pickup, mud covering nearly all of it except the Kansas Geological Survey logo stuck on the side with electrical tape. Dry corn stalks crunch under his work boots as he makes his way to a decommissioned irrigation well. He unspools the steel highway tape, measures a few feet at a time, and feeds it into the well until gravity takes over. He keeps a thumb on it to control the speed. How much that tape comes out wet lets him calculate how much water has been lost here. Wilson crisscrosses western Kansas every January to measure wells and track the rapid decline of the Ulaga Aquifer, which contains the nation's largest underground storage of fresh water. Last year, some wells had dropped 10 foot or more because of the severe 2022 drought, but this year they stayed about the same or maybe dropped a couple of feet. Some of these wells have dropped more than 100 foot since Wilson started working for the agency in 2001. Some of our issues looking forward, he said, I don't think we can peck away at it and make some headway. We got to get some stuff, some organization going on here on conserving water, he said. The Ulaga Aquifer, the underground rock and segment for the formation that spans 8 states from South Dakota to the Texas Panhandle, is the only reliable water source for some parts of the region. But for decades, states have allowed farmers to overpump groundwater to irrigate corn and other crops that would otherwise struggle on the high plains. Now the disappearing water is threatening more than just agriculture. Rural communities are facing dire future where water is no longer a certainty. Across the Ulaga, small towns and cities built around agriculture are facing a twisted threat. The very industry that they made their communities might just eradicate them. The Kansas Democratic Governor, Laura Kelly, acknowledges some communities are just a generation away from running out of water. But she said there's still time to act. If they do nothing, I think they're going to suffer the consequences, Kelly said. Today, the aquifer supports 20% of the nation's wheat, corn, cotton, and cattle production and represents 30% of all water used for irrigation in the United States. Let's see here. In Kansas, the Ulaga Aquifer supplies 70 to 80% of the water residents use each day. But for decades, the state's regulation of water benefited its largest user and its largest industry, agriculture. The once abundant water allowed farmers to grow cheap cattle feed, attracting the feedlots and increasing dairy farms that dotted the southwest Kansas. But that feed is cheap, partly because aside from the fuel costs associated with running a well, the water is free. A report commissioned by the Kansas legislature in 1955 warned of future without it. Groundwater mining is a serious problem, the report said. After the grave 1955 warning, however, lawmakers only made it easier to pump the water, according to Burt Craigs, a water law professor at Washburn University in Topeka. Craig's formerly a water lawyer for the state, criticized Kansas lawmakers. A decade-long posture that the depletion would be best solved locally. He said in a stance held by every governor since the 1980s. They wanted to be voluntary, and they wanted to be cooperative. They wanted to have depletion. They just wanted, it's a bad deal. Anyway, since the mid-20th century, when large-scale irrigation began, water levels in the stretches of the Ulagal underlying Kansas have dropped about an average of 28.2 feet further below the surface, far worse than the 8-state average of 16.8. Water levels in Texas, where the Ulagal runs through the state's panhandle, have dropped 44 feet. New Mexico has seen a 19.1-foot decline. In Colorado, Nebraska, and Oklahoma, and Wyoming, the water level has declined less than the 8-state average, while in South Dakota, it has actually risen. While the Ulagal Aquifer presents distinct circumstances, tensions over groundwater are growing across the country, said climate scientist and author Peter Click, who founded the Pacific Institute, a global water think tank. You're not alone, Clink told Kansas irrigators and policymakers at the governor's conference on water held in November in Manhattan. A lot of issues that you are dealing with in Kansas, they're dealing with in Arizona and the Colorado River Basin. Without drastic measures, some communities may not survive. I think without a doubt, we'll see some communities dry up. When Michael Shannon got his start in local government over 40 years ago, water supplies were not top of the mind. Those days are gone. He said, we're running out of water now. He is the interim city manager of Guymon, Oklahoma. We're pumping our maximum, and the water levels keep coming down. The largest city in the Oklahoma Panhandle, Guymon relies on 18 wells to draw water from the Ulagal. But dropping water levels has forced the city of 13,000 to explore new wells outside the town. The city has already committed some $4.5 million to study and drill new wells, but there's no guarantee the wells will produce a reliable water source. There's always what if, he said. There could be not any water. The city's largest water user and employer is a massive pork plant that slaughters and processes 20,000 hogs per day. The plan has voluntarily reduced water usage by nearly half during times of the shortened supply. Shannon said the city industry and ag producers must work together. In Northwest Kansas, last but not least on this, in Northwest Kansas, a group of farmers voluntarily cut their water usage by 20% through a 5-year conservation program. With the state, they switched from corn to wheat or grain sorghum and used irrigation more strategically. Farmers in the area exceeded their goal and cut use on the average at 23.1% over the initial 5-year period and slowed the decline of the aquifer from 2 feet per year to less than 6 inches. Still, the gadgets said the state must force other producers to cut back. Even Kansas State Farm Bureau President Joe Newland said he's fearful that voluntary efforts aren't enough. Newland, a former Kansas Republican legislator, offered an amendment in 2022 that effectively sank a massive bill designed to make the aquifer a high priority in state government. In Kansas, the ag industry, led back in part by Newland, has largely pushed back against aggressive water restrictions instead of calling for voluntary conservation measures. But Newland worries those voluntary measures haven't saved enough water and could eventually push the state to hand down mandates. I got 2-3 buddies up in Kansas. They're in the middle of this out there in southwestern Kansas. They come up with a 4-county group to voluntarily cut back water in these 4 counties of these irrigators, and 70% of the irrigators cut back and 30% didn't. They fought them, and matter of fact, they said the 30% used more water than they normally did because they knew the other guys wasn't using water, as much water. So it's just farmers got to come together up there in Kansas or wherever else they're having problems with water shortages, come together and do it. But it's just, they've been trying for 10 years now to do that. So I figure sooner or later, the state of Kansas is going to come down with mandatory stuff, and they'll be able to regulate it. You don't think they won't. And so they know where all those big water wells are. All irrigation is just like in Oklahoma, where they know where all those water wells are. But anyway, we just got to learn to cooperate with each other up there in Kansas and get it done, because that water's going down. There's a lot of pivots setting up there right now in Kansas, especially in the Texas and Oklahoma Panhandle, where farmers can't afford to deepen their wells and stuff like that. So anyway, food security, baby. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.